This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And a good Saturday morning to one and all. Frank Proctor here, joining Charlie on this beautiful Saturday, a little on the chilly side, but hey.
Nice sun coming out.
We cannot complain.
I'll the winter you. That wasn't.
Well, yeah. What the heck is going on, Charlie?
You've been reading about these Arctic highs and lows.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Various and sundry.
What, did you see where Rome just got dumped with about 20 inches of snow?
And I know.
You know, all the cars have been ordered off the roads unless they have chains and stuff like that. My gosh.
I know.
Unbelievable.
That's our winter. I guess there is a fair amount of snow up in ski country here, even in Ontario, but I think it's hard for people to wrap their head around the idea of going skiing when there's not, the grass is almost green.
I feel so sorry for the guys that operate ski hills and stuff like that. I mean, they can make snow, sure enough, but it doesn't put people in the city in the mind of going up to
ski country. Who would even think to go skiing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my friends, I'm in the company of the goddess of the gardenias and the god fairy of the ferns. Charlie Dobbin is her name, master gardener. And this is The Garden Show from AM 740. I'm the sous chef, and we welcome your calls at the following numbers. First of all, for Toronto, call 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else, don't worry about the cost. We pick this up, 1-866-740-4740. And at this point in time, as is usually her wont, she will.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Go through her files of information there. Mm-hmm. What do you got for us?
I've got all kinds of little doodads going
all
on
right.
here. Let me just sort through my pile. Okay, a couple of announcements.
All right.
Nice to always start with a few announcements. Today,
yes.
In Brantford is the third annual CD Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
love
CD Saturdays.
Yeah.
So all day today from 10 o'clock until 3 p.m. at St. Jude's Anglican Church, 81 Peel Street in Brantford. Now, CD Saturdays are all about exchanging seeds. So people have collected seeds, and they bring in either what they've collected to
exchange.
Now, they've
been storing these seeds, right?
Since last, they harvested them last whenever, summer or fall. And, stored properly, they should be perfectly viable. So it can be a seed exchange, or it can be a purchase, where if you don't have something to exchange, you exchange cash for the seeds you want. But often this is how we keep some really great plants going, you've seen the beautiful cosmos or amazing poppies in somebody's yard, and they've saved some seeds, and now you too can grow what you've admired from somebody else's yard. So do check out the CD Saturday in Brantford if you can. Not only a seed exchange, it's set up with vendors, some seed catalogs, there's a speaker, and the ladies of the church are selling baked goods.
Excellent.
That's where Frank starts to beam the baked goods.
I got to tell you, stopped in at the 13th Street Winery in...
I've been there.
Yeah.
In Niagara on the Lake.
They've got a little bakery in there. They're butter tarts.
I love a good butter tart. Where they let the kind where you take a bite and all the juice dribbles out.
Yeah, you gotta have a kind of a
exactly.
Kleenex or whatever
Something
under your chin.
Because it all dribbles. Yeah. Oh, I love. That's my favorite kind of butter tart. Yeah, it's like all the honey and stuff comes pouring out. So that's pretty good. Of course, admission is free, but there is a request for non-perishable food items to come in to be put into the church program, the family outreach program at the church. So that's Brantford. Meanwhile, the Burlington Horticultural Society is hosting a general meeting this Wednesday, February the, 8th, 7:30 p.m. As usual, they'll be meeting at the Burlington Senior Center, 2285 New Street, which is at Seneca Avenue in Burlington. Now, this is going to be an exciting evening. The speaker is Wolfgang Bonham.
All right. That name, Wolfgang Bonham.
Well, yeah, exactly. And what's even better is he owns a landscape design and construction mm-hmm. company. I know him because he built a garden at Canada Blooms last year. His company is called Peace, Love, and Landscaping.
Ah, okay. That's nice.
Bit yeah. of an unusual name. And to even take it the next step further, his company is located on Penny Lane.
Oh, well,
in Burlington.
A penny for your thoughts.
Exactly. So his topic, which he is speaking on Wednesday in Burlington, is the tropical gardens of Thailand. He's going to bring a bunch of pictures that he's taken on his last trip to Thailand. So everyone is welcome. For more information, go to burlingtonhs.com. Next Sunday, the Rock Garden and Woodland Plants
Not
Society.
Not tomorrow, but the
next
following
Sunday.
Sunday
the 12th. The Rock Garden and Woodland Plant Society is hosting their meeting. It's at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 1:30 in the afternoon. The speaker is Tony Resnicek, and he is speaking about Under the Lights of Modern Evolutionary Biology.
Wow.
So, yeah, that sounds like a pretty heavy topic. Admission is free. All are welcome. And, again, seeds will be for sale. So lots going on. And one thing for everybody to get ready for, and we'll talk more about it as we get closer. Remember the great backyard bird count?
Oh, yeah. I like that.
All right. It's coming up. Coming up. Get your pens and pencils and binoculars ready, because starting on Friday, February the 17th, for 4 days, all over North America, it's the great backyard bird count. Just a couple quick stats from last year. Total checklists submitted. So people fill out checklists. Yeah. Last year, 92,218 checklists.
Wow.
Total species observed, 594. Total individual birds counted, 11,471,949 birds.
Gadfrey Daniels. Sounds like my budget. Telling you. And speaking of CD, let's say hi to our producer, David Gaston.
Aw, he's I
say that in jest.
Of course.
He is one of the most erudite people that I know.
Hmm.
He owes
Not me, to mention good looking.
That's right.
Yes.
He owes me 10 bucks for those words. Okay, so give a call, folks, and the mantra is call early, call often. One question per call. I see that David's been busy lining up the callers. We'll get to you very shortly right here on The Garden Show from AM 740.
There are hundreds of sources for tips on gardening, but you need only one. The AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin continues.
Well, we got our running shoes on. Boy, we're going to take a little trot up to Gravenhurst and say hi to Sandy. Sandy, as you join the show, any snow up there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, you got
it. I believe it, yeah.
Yeah, but not bad.
Okay.
Not the normal.
All righty. Well, here's Charlie. What's your question?
Hi, Charlie.
Morning.
I have a Hawaiian white ginger plant, mm-hmm. and I picked the root up in Hawaii in November. And it was a really healthy one, and it's in a pot. It's growing. It's about 9 inches tall. But I've just got it in an old clay pot, and I'd like to know what kind of a pot should I put it in, like, you know, that it'll last for a little while
mm-hmm.
And grow? How do they grow?
Well, this is a good question. I've never grown it before. I'm going to have to find out some more about this. So it's just called Hawaiian ginger?
Hawaiian white ginger.
White ginger. And is the intention that it's an edible plant, or is it strictly a...
No.
No.
Well, I hope not. I bought it for the flower and the...
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, when we think of our ginger that grows naturally in the woodland forests, of course, it's a shade-loving, low-to-the-ground kind of plant with very pretty leaves.
Yeah.
So let me leave that with me. I'll see what I can find out. Off the top of my head, I think a clay pot was a good choice, because that way you have very little chance of overwatering. Clay pots are the best when it comes to good, you know, providing very good drainage,
yeah.
Which will be important. And and when you bought it, it was like a little dormant tuber, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was, but I've never seen one so healthy looking.
Oh, neat.
Wow.
It was moist in there.
Huh. Yeah.
It really grew. And you don't know whether it's like a tuber down there? Does it shoot up other...
Like I said, leave that with me. Typically, ginger does have a very large swollen root, mm-hmm. so that and that's why that clay pot is important, because again, you want to avoid any overwatering, and will help ensure that you don't. Always a good idea. Think about when you do water, it's room temperature water that is sat out for at least 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
and that you water from the saucer below rather than in the top of the pot.
Oh, okay.
Always a good idea with any kind of plants with you know, that kind of a whether it's a tuber or a you know, bulb or corm, any of those things, it can be very easy for them to rot if water sits around the root for too long. So from the bottom is always the best. But otherwise, yeah, leave that with me. I'll see if I can give you anything further this show, and if not, we'll start off next week's show with some tips on how to grow that plant.
Oh, okay, the best. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy. 9:17 our time here at AM 740, The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, as we say hi to Marnie in Waterloo. Hi, Marnie.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Morning.
Good.
Love listening to your show.
Thank you.
I have an amaryllis that's finished blooming. What do I do with the bulb?
Well, do you want to try and keep it get it to rebloom next year?
Oh, yes. It was a beauty.
Oh, nice. Well, what you do then is, for now, you treat it as a regular houseplant. You remove the flower stems.
Okay, I've done that. Yeah.
Because you don't want the plant to set seed.
Now
so
it has
just
some new leaves coming up, but no more flower stem.
Yeah, and that's as it should be, because those leaves are going to grow. You know, it's done flowering. It used the energy that it had in the already preformed flower buds, did their thing. Now it's all about leaves growing and photosynthesis taking place so that the bulb will get fattened back up for blooming a year or so from now.
Oh, okay.
So
do
you
I have to keep it dark? Or
no, keep it in the light. Keep it on a window in a bright sunny spot in your house. Water only as required. You know, do water as necessary, but don't let it sit in water.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's got that big root, that you know, the big bulb we don't want to rot.
Okay.
And it will have to grow leaves for a number of months.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Sometimes what people like to do is take them outside in the spring and let the plant stay outside all summer.
Oh, really? Okay.
And again, it's just going to grow more leaves, and it's just going to be a big, fat, you know, green plant with these long, strap-like leaves.
Right.
Now, in order to get it to flower, you will need to impose dormancy on it by, in the fall, putting it into the dark and stop watering.
Oh, okay.
How long? 10 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And by that time, of course, the leaves have all shriveled up. Then you take it out of the dark and you give it some water once, and it will start to grow again, and it should shoot a flower at that, you know, shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't force the dormancy. They just keep it as a houseplant, and the amaryllis will continue to bloom on and off for years and years, and you just keep it as a green plant in between. It does get bigger and bigger and bigger, though, so you got to have room for it.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
you,
Marnie.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Hey, it is coming around to 20 after 9 here on a beautiful Saturday morning, nice and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and, well, don't do any digging in the garden. No,
not yet.
But certainly questions on gardening we welcome. And now would be a good time to call. Got a couple of lines open right at this moment, 416-360-0740. And then, of course, anywhere in Ontario, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to be speaking next when we come back after a few words to Brian in Hamilton. So hang tight there, Brian. Meantime, I'm not hanging tight. I'm hanging loose. I'm loosening up. Oh, and why would I say that, Charlie?
I would think you would say that because you've been taking your daily dose of Sierracil.
There you go.
And Sierracil has helped to, you know, effectively support joint health for you and calm any inflammation in those sore spots. So the main thing is that you and I are both staying active and pain-free by taking our daily 3 little pills of Sierracil. It doesn't work for absolutely everybody, but if it's going to work for you, you will know it's working for you within 14 days. It's totally natural. It's a mineral, it's a supplement, and for anybody,
a lot of spots you can pick it up, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you prefer to purchase it at your local health food store, the Big Carrot on Danforth Avenue in Toronto carries it. The Goodness Me Natural Food Markets in Burlington, Hamilton, and Waterdown all carry Sierracil, or you can order it over the web at sierracil.ca, or give the people a call, 1-877-JOINT-14.
Friends say she's down to earth, and that's usually where you'll find her. Welcome back to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
At 9:23, Frank Proctor bidding you welcome to the Garden Show with our master gardener, Charlie Dobbin, all set to bidding.
Have we not?
Oh, there we are.
I must have leaned on my mic button.
That's known as a cough switch in the biz.
Thanks, Charlie.
But meanwhile, Brian is patiently waiting on the line there in Hamilton. Hi, Brian. How are you doing this morning?
Not too bad, thank you. I love the show.
Thank you.
Don't miss it.
Great.
What's going on in your place?
I have a I guess it's like a palm-type tree,
mm-hmm.
Fairly tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that's started out with two, and I wanted to know how I can take the one off to repot and hopefully grow another one.
Hmm.
Okay, so I'm completely confused, though, as to what the plant might be. Is it really a palm, do you think? Like a, you know how palms grow? Well, of course, we see them in the tropics, but typically they have long fronds with individual little leaflets, and certainly areca palm is a common house plant, but there's other, you know, bamboo palm, all kinds of palms that people will grow in their homes. Typically, everything comes from the bottom, though, from the base.
Yes, everything comes from the base, and it's like a... And each long leaf, mm-hmm. like, because the leaves are about 18 inches long,
right.
I guess, pointed on the ends, and only maybe an inch and a quarter or so wide,
right.
Nice and smooth. And they're about every, I don't know, half inch up the stalk. And as they die, you just pull them down, and they peel right off. And they leave the little ridges up the trunk.
The main stem. Yeah. It almost sounds, I could be wrong here, but it almost sounds like a Dracaena. Like you've got, it's like a heavy trunk.
I've got one here that's about 3 feet high.
Yeah.
And the trunk at the bottom is only maybe inch and a half or so in diameter.
And the 3 foot high, and then little green sprouts come off of that
yeah.
trunk.
The nice long leaves.
Nice long leaves.
Do you know, is there any possibility of you taking a shot of this and sending it to Charlie via email?
Maybe. I'm not a computer whiz.
I'm with you.
One of my kids to...
they'll know all about it, yeah.
Yeah, no, even
we'll
if...
send a picture.
Yeah, you or one of your kids has a cell phone. There's usually a camera, and it's...
Yes, yes they do.
Yeah,
they've got all the gadgets.
Of course. They wouldn't be kids if they didn't have the gadgets.
Yeah, that's right.
My email's really easy. You know what? I'm just thinking it might be better, rather than me rambling on, not even pause of what you've got. Because some plants... Because your real question is how to propagate this plant, it sounds like, or how to get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to see a picture of the plant, and then I'd be in a better position to advise.
So the email, if you want to take this down, Brian, it's C. Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at am740.ca.
Send me a picture on that if you can, a photo, and then I can address your question, and would be happy to do so next week.
All right.
Something for the kids to do.
I'll even send another picture because I have a plant I've never seen before.
Oh, neat.
Oh, good.
You'd looking for an ID on that?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Happy to see it.
Tiny, funny little flowers, but...
Nice.
Okay, well,
I like
Charlie
that
will
tiny,
do what you can.
Funny little flowers.
Well,
all thanks for calling, Brian. I wish I could help you right away, but I'm happy to help you in the future.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for joining
the
show.
Much.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Hey, and you are listening to AM 740, Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, as we go to Bart here.
I think it says Bert.
No, Bert. I'm sorry, Bert in Oshawa. Hi, Bert.
Yeah, good morning, folks.
Morning.
I have an hibiscus hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I cut it down,
mm-hmm.
and I have beautiful new shoots coming and flowers all everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now the plant is getting a little unruly. Where do I cut again after I did the first cutting?
Okay, so this is a tropical hibiscus, so it's inside your house.
Yes, a hybrid.
And so you say unruly as in getting too big or just long and lanky?
It's quite large now because after I cut it down, you know, I trimmed it.
Yeah.
And I got all these new shoots.
That's right.
You have to move out of the house.
Where do I trim again if I wanted to get the plant into a little bit more shape?
Right. So, and this is a really good question because you're absolutely right. When we do cut things down, for every one cut that we make, and hibiscus is a good example of this,
yeah.
wherever there's, excuse me, along the stem, there are different spots where leaves are coming out. And when we cut the stem back, at every point where there's a leaf coming out along the stem that we've left behind, a sprout will often emerge because there's a little dormant bud at each of those leaf nodes. So we take off the end of one stem and all of a sudden four or five new shoots shoot off of what's left on the stem. And of course, if you left 5 or 10 stems times 5 or 6 new stems, suddenly it's a pretty big bushy plant. So right away, nice sharp pruners. And you got to sort of study the plant. But what you're looking to remove right away is any of the new growth that has started to grow towards the inside of the plant. So little shoots that have grown off of the stems that you cut back, and they're growing into the center, and they're making it so dense that in the center of the plant, there's all this just a mishmash of little branches and twiggy things all crisscrossing over each other. All of that, or virtually all of that, can be trimmed right out. And the reason you're going to do that, it's going to allow sun to get into the center. It's going to allow for better air circulation, and the plants will be happier and healthier.
More energy going to the remaining.
Exactly. Leaves. And what you want to encourage is the growth that's growing to the outside, so all the way around, you know, the 360 degrees of the pot. You want to have nice branches growing out in a nice balanced way. So we take off the inner growth, the stuff that's growing to the inside. We also take off any of the little side shoots that are growing in the right direction, but are crisscrossing with each other. So, and that will happen quite often with hibiscus. They start running into each other, and all of a sudden you've got just, too much going on, too many stems, and the interaction and the interference that they have with each other ends up damaging. So you only end up with one healthy stem anyway. Pick the one you want and remove the other one. So right away now you've taken out probably 30% of the growth by taking out a lot of that inner growth, a lot of those crisscrossing branches. Now you're looking at the plant with, it's lighter and better looking. What's left for you to decide is whether the whole thing needs to be made a little smaller. So that's where you kind of have to stand back, look at the structure of the plant and say, okay, you know, it's going to grow this spring and this summer. You know, it's going to grow 2.5 feet probably. So it might be appropriate even to make the whole plant just a little bit smaller by bringing it in, you know, from the outer dimension where it is now, whether that's a couple inches or whatever it is that you might want to bring it back just to make it a little more manageable size. That's what I would do with a hibiscus now, anytime this month or by next month at the latest.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Bert.
You're very
thanks
welcome.
Thanks for joining
call.
The show.
Okay.
Yeah, you bet.
Very
you know, you've often said that the thing about gardeners is they love to share, and I think this next caller is in that mode, if you will. Christine from Cambridge is on the line with a comment that we had from an earlier caller about Hawaiian ginger. So let's see what's going on there. Hi, and welcome to the show, Christina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you had experience with Hawaiian ginger?
No, not with any plants coming into the country from any other place.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I'm wondering. I mean, they're so careful about what you can take with you and, you know, anywhere out of Canada.
Right.
And I wondered about them being able to bring plants back from another place.
Well, you're right. You know what's the big issue? It's not even always the plants per se, it's the soil. Soil is not allowed to cross borders because of living organisms in the soil. So when plants cross borders, it's usually as a dormant or bare root piece of material. So I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that our earlier caller, Sandy, who was calling us from Gravenhurst, that she, when she came into Canada from Hawaii with that plant, it was, I'm assuming, a dormant root at that time. And she brought it in and potted it. That was what she was saying, that she put it into a clay pot. And I'm just sort of looking. I've found a website here. I've never grown this plant, but it does look very pretty. And the other thing is that there are, I mean, Hawaii is part of the United States. There are certificates you must get if plants are crossing borders and there is soil as part of that.
Oh,
and when you're flying from Hawaii, it's not sort of like flying from Guatemala. There's a lot more stringent controls at airports, et cetera. So I'm sure that Sandy, I didn't ask her, but I'm sure that Sandy was fully, you know, following the law on that particular case.
Well, the reason I asked is like we travel by bus to Florida you know, once a year. But you're not even allowed to take an orange with you or an apple or...
Out of Florida.
You mean out of Canada into Florida.
Yeah.
Wow,
or
really?
Either way.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have anything like that. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong about it, but I just wondered if the rules had changed or if it was okay to do that.
No, it's called a phytocertificate. It's when a plant has actually been inspected to ensure that it is completely virus and bacterial free and insect free.
Oh, I see.
So sometimes, you know, when you are in situations, particularly tourist locations, where they will sell you something that you can take with you because it does come with that certification on it.
Oh, I see.
And so, that'd be a good thing
to look for and good to
definitely
know about.
Definitely. Because those rules are in place for a very good reason. Yeah. It's got a lot to do with the importance of the agriculture industry in places like Florida. You know, we bring something down into Florida that they've never seen before and they have no ability, no control for. And the citrus fruit industry, you know, just can't have the unknowns arriving. So they certainly don't want us rolling in there with lemons or limes or oranges for fear of what we might bring in to their world.
Made me curious, and I thought I'd call and
thank you.
Darn good question.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for bringing that up. It was a really good point.
Okay. The Garden Show on the air with all sorts of interest. Now it's a darn good question, though. See, we all kind of learn something.
Of course. We do love to learn. So here, you know what? This is a Hawaiian website. It's called Grow Hawaii, assuming that Sandy's still listening. It is talking about what a beautiful plant this is. It's very orchid-like, beautiful white flowers, sweetly scented. I guess they make leis out of this. This is probably something that if anybody's ever been to Hawaii and worn those flowers.
They have a mailing situation there, too.
Yes, exactly. So this is shipping information if you want to buy this plant. Growing instructions. Bury the root deep enough to cover in potting soil mix from the garden shop, so meaning from a good potting soil. Keep moist after the root has sprouted. Continue to keep moist and in partial shade. So, Sandy, I hope you're listening. An east window will do just fine. If you put this outdoors in the summer, make sure it's somewhere that's shaded from the direct sun, because all gingers do prefer a shady spot. Keep the temperature between 65 and 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Fertilize with time-release fertilizer or any good garden fertilizer according to instructions. When the leaves turn yellow, don't panic. This is normal. Just cut the stems and new shoots will take its place. This particular plant goes dormant in the winter and comes back in the spring.
Sounds like a pretty neat plant.
It does.
It's beautiful too. Yeah. So just go online to Grow Hawaii.
Yeah, it says growhawaii.com for anybody who wants to see a nice looking plant and obviously something you could, as it appears, have shipped here to Canada and play around with.
Yeah, great stuff. Okay.
All right.
Another little helpful tip from the tipster of all time.
Just, we're everywhere, you know.
And we're on to another call here. My gosh, Gina.
It's tropical day.
Yeah, it is indeed. Well, this weather's kind of spurring everybody on. Yep. Gina in Mississauga waiting on the line here to talk about an avocado plant. Hello, Gina.
Good morning to you both. Enjoy your show. Although I'm in a condo, I really enjoy your show.
Oh, you
the
can
question
grow
was
stuff.
Last
yeah.
week, you had someone with an avocado plant.
Yes.
How to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
I did that right after your show. I washed a stone and I put it in water. What are the procedure to follow that now?
Okay, so you put it in water. Now you don't put the whole pit right into the water. You suspend it. Right. So you've got the flat sides just kissing the water. The little pointy part is above the water. And usually we use toothpicks and we stick three or four toothpicks into the side of the pit and hang it on inside a glass or a cup or something.
Okay.
So you put the whole pit into the water.
Yes, I did.
Uh-oh. So looks like you're going to have to buy another.
Not necessarily. It's only been a week, so we might be able to rescue this situation.
Well, I have another one. I could do that. So the pit is to stand up. The head, the top,
Yeah, so if you look at the pit, you'll see it's got a bit of a pointier end and more of a flat bottom end.
Right.
So the flat bottom end is where the roots will come out, and that little pointier end will eventually split apart and a shoot will come shooting right through that,
that
center.
And how long will it take? How many shoots should I have before I put into a potting soil?
How many roots, you mean?
Yes.
Because you'll only get one shoot, typically.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you're right, because the caller who called last week, that's what she had done. She had gone from the water into the soil and was worried because not much was going on.
Right.
But that's partially because of the winter. Nothing goes on in the winter anyway.
Okay. And how big does it grow?
It'll be a tree eventually.
if you've got a nice window plant for a while?
Yeah, if you've got room and patience for it. Though, It'd be interesting if anybody listening can call and tell us that they have kept an avocado for years and years and really love it. What I have found in my experience of growing avocado is it's very fun because it's neat, but it's not a really pretty plant.
It tends
to be quite gangly. It's got big leaves and sort of, it's, yeah, for lack of a better term, it's a little on the gangly side. But,
well,
you know, it is fun.
I don't think I'll forward to that because with the window I have is a window in the condo. I'll try to get something else from your show.
All right. Well, that is, but that's a really fun one just because it's so easy to work with. Now, they don't grow quickly. That, you know, you suspend it over a glass of water. It could take a month or two before anything happens.
Okay. So, well, thank you so much. And have a good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Gina. Bye-bye.
And the phone number's here for Charlie Dobbin's Garden Show, 416-360-0740, and our toll-free line, 1-866-740-4740.
I like the way you're calling that Charlie Dobbin's Garden Show.
Well, enough kicking in the shins finally got me to, you know, the correct procedure.
Frank and I were having a little tiff before the show started. He kept saying, I think Frank and Charlie's show sounds better.
Yeah.
And
well,
I kept saying, it
flows better.
No, I kept saying, no, Charlie and Frank's show flows. So we were having one of those flow arguments. Which flows better, Frank and Charlie or Charlie and Frank? I'm a big believer in Charlie and Frank, anyway. So a quick email just before we go to our break, if you don't mind me taking a little control for a minute.
No.
Is that
go
right?
Ahead.
Good,
go
good,
ahead.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Email from Rose Cohen. Hi, Rose. She's giving us a call. Email from Thornhill. And her question, it's a good one, is... Heuchera, which is an outdoor perennial commonly called coral bells. She clearly has some in her garden, and she's noticing that her heuchera have not died down this year. They're not in an especially protected area, and she's wondering if this is normal, that it's all still green, that the heuchera is still green. So it is a good question. This is the winter that wasn't. So there's normally our heuchera covered in snow. Heuchera or coral bells are very short little plants. Like they're, 6 inches tall. Normally we have snow on top of them. We don't see them. We're seeing everything this year because there is no snow. And honestly, heuchera are what are called a semi-evergreen. So in a mild winter, they will often keep all their leaves. When they're covered in snow, they will keep all their leaves. It's only if it's bitterly cold and there is no snow that the leaves will all turn brown and shrivel up. So our job in the spring will be very simple. We'll just go out there on our hands and knees and with each of the heuchera or coral bell plants, we'll get down. Now, the older leaves, the ones that are right at the, sort of touching the ground, they will turn brown and shrivel up as winter ends and spring arrives. The center rosette of the plant will probably, in most cases, if not all cases, still be nice and fresh and green, and new growth will be starting to emerge from the center. So in the spring, our coral bells are going to be very simple to work with. It's just a cleanup of the older, more mature leaves, and they're going to look good right from the get-go. There's no empty spaces in our garden where the coral bells are located.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that email. We appreciate it. And once again, Charlie's email, if you'd like to reach her, it's cdobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at am740.ca. I see we're at 9:41. That means we have to take a little break here. But pardon me, we'll be back, I hope, to talk to Joyce.
I'll be back, don't worry.
In St. Catharines after these words.
You supply the what and where, and she'll come through with the how. You're listening to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And her good buddy, Frank Proctor here, the sous chef of the garden, along with David Gaskin, our producer, welcoming you to the show. And who am I welcoming here? You're looking at
I'm so
Scott.
Sorry. We're going to talk to Joyce. She's calling us from St. Catharines.
Oh, well, there you are, just around the corner from me, most likely. Hello, Joyce.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. I am just wondering what preparation I can put on my lawn that will eradicate the skunks that are making little holes and getting white grubs, I guess.
Well, you know what? That's a great question. Best thing you can do is eradicate the grubs, and then the skunks won't dig up your lawn.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So don't even try to eradicate the skunks.
No, I mean, how can I keep them from digging up my lawn?
Well, so you have, yeah. So did you have a problem last spring and summer?
Well, I know still there's a little, they're still getting little grubs now even.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've had, and for sure it's skunks, you've seen them out there digging around?
Yeah, just the nature of the little hole, you know, and it seems to me it's the skunks.
It could be starlings, because remember, birds will also enjoy doing a nice aeration, actually, on your lawn while removing the grubs for you. Raccoons tend to make a pretty big mess when they go for the grubs. They don't just do nice little neat holes. They tend to...
I think about a mole. Do moles or...
Moles will eat grubs as well, but they do more from under the ground rather than from, you know, top down. Mm-hmm. The real trick... Now, so, okay, because this, like we've said, is the winter that never really happened. The grubs normally at this time of year should be way down deep, well below the frost line, and our ground should be frozen. Even in St. Catharines, you should have at least 8 or 10 inches of frost in the top, top surface of the ground, and the grubs should be sleeping quite comfortably below that level in the soil. Mm-hmm. The skunks should be completely oblivious, as should the birds, of any insects in the lawns, because the lawns should be frozen. They're not, though. Nothing's frozen. The grubs, of course, are pretty, they recognize things aren't very frozen, so they haven't had any need to go very deep.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid we are going to see the survival of a lot of pests this winter, and we will see the huge impact of that, particularly in the spring. As well, though, we will see a huge survival of many of the beneficial insects that might have died. You know, whether it's the praying mantids or the ladybugs, they will survive as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your challenge is to try and control grubs now, which is very, very difficult to do.
I smell nematodes coming up
exactly.
here.
Exactly. The only really effective way to control grubs is when the grubs are tiny, which is in late July, early August.
Mm-hmm.
Frank can answer this question.
Yes, that's exactly right. And you spray them on the lawn with the water hose, and the whole mixture is well explained. But they're stored in the refrigerator in your finest garden centers, and you purchase them and then get them home as fast as you can.
Nematode eggs.
That's right, nematode eggs.
But at this point, the grubs are big, too big, meaning that they're not those little tiny soft-bodied things. They've actually got pretty tough outer skin on them right now, and the nematodes don't really work in the spring the way they do in the late summer.
July,
August.
Oh.
So really, honestly, what you're going to have to do is just wait. You're going to have to wait until the grubs have moved on, because remember, the grubs don't stay grubs forever. They do move on to become beetles, and the beetles fly up into the sky, have fun, party in the trees, drop down, lay eggs, and die.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to wait for that process, and don't put a lot of energy into your lawn until that has happened. Once that's happened, then you can fix your lawn if it's a real mess with the various animals having a field day, so to speak, in your lawn. But do put, you know, nematode purchasing and application on your calendar now for August.
And how do you spell that?
N as in Norway, E, M as in mother.
Nem
a a t o d as in Dobbin, E, nematode.
E, okay.
Okay, and you'll be able to buy that at any good garden center in the St. Catharines area. They'll have it for sure, and follow the instructions, and the staff can certainly explain it to you as well.
Wow, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm so delighted
Thanks
you called
for your call.
Because it's the only one subject that I feel at all, after how many years have we been doing the show? A couple of years. The nematodes are the only thing.
But I thought you were going to get real comfortable with that skunk question. Because of the idea you mentioned that you once thought some poor little baby skunks needed rescuing, and you were being skunk daddy.
Yeah, when we had our house in St. Catharines, we went out one morning, and here about five little wee tiny, maybe 3 inches long.
Oh, really tiny?
These little
newborns.
These little tails on those skunks, and I thought, oh gosh, they're gonna die out here, So I put them in a box, my neighbor and I, Ev, and we put them in my garage. Well, a neighbor got really upset when they're keeping skunks. And, oh, geez. So he called the natural resources, whatever.
Or wildlife control.
And the lady who answered the phone was ticked off. She said, well, what are you doing
interfering.
Yeah. Put them back out there. The mother will come and get them. And I said, okay. And I did. And sure mom come and got them. Yeah.
Took them away. And didn't bother spraying you along the way or
leaving you
a thank you present of any kind?
No. Had that happened. Well, not me, but one of my dogs.
Dogs. Oh, no kidding.
That's a whole other story. We better take a little bit of a break here, okay?
We have some exercising to
it's
do.
It's our exercise break.
It is.
Wait
absolutely.
A minute. I've got my cape on. Yes. It's Mighty Frank to the rescue.
Sierra Sillman.
Yes.
We could do that, eh? We could be superheroes.
Well, there you are.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm going to suggest that to the Sierra Sill people.
Okay.
We could do commercials and everything. hey, we do that now. Speak of the devil.
Yeah.
Sierra Sill is a mineral supplement that both Frank and I take.
I want you, David, to check her coffee. There's something she's putting in her coffee.
Sierra Sill is used by boomers who want freedom to maintain their favorite activities with reduced aches and stiffness. And that's us.
Yeah. We're Zoomers Plus.
Zoomers Plus. And we have reduced aches and stiffness because we take Sierra Sill on a regular basis. And even though I'm sitting at my computer for hours at a time, when I get up, my knees don't absolutely creak like crazy because I take Sierra Sill. So we recommend that if you have stiffness in any of your joints, give it a try. Doesn't work for everybody, but if it's going to work, you're going to know it within 14 days.
Well, and Charlie, is here to attest to that because before, have you ever heard the sound of a screen door at a cottage creaking? That's how it sounds when Charlie used to stand up, but not now.
I'm all limber. Now, you can get Sierra Sill at many of your local health food stores. For example, the Whole Foods markets, all of them carry Sierra Sill. The Peanut Mill on Welland Avenue in St. Catharines carries Sierra Sill. Or check them out on the web, sierrasill.ca, or give them a call, 1-877-JOINT-14.
There are hundreds of sources for tips on gardening, but you need only one. The AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin continues.
And here we are on this beautiful Saturday morning. Charlie and I were just watching a video on skunks. cute as all get out.
Sweet.
Okay, Betty in Toronto is waiting to talk to you here about her flower bed at Blue Wave. Yeah. Hi, Betty.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Great. I just wanted to tell you that I have a bulb all covering my front flower bed, which faces south.
Mm.
And I have a ring of chrysanthemums growing there, tucked underneath this silver dogwood tree.
Sorry, a ring of what?
Chrysanthemums.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Yes, and they're beautiful.
They're up now, you mean?
No, but Betty's obviously looking forward.
They're not in bloom, but they're not in bloom, but they're a sign of spring.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and I have the same thing. The front of my house faces south, and I have lots of bulbs that come up. And they come early because obviously it's nice and warm and usually thaws first at the front because of that sun.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think we're too far away from some of that poking through the ground.
No, I'm going to watch them every day.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for the show.
Certainly, and thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Something to look forward to, right?
Exactly.
Spring. It's only February 4th, and yet it feels like March, you know, the weather and the sun is warm when it's been, you know, out, which it is today.
Absolutely. Well, not out, but I presume indoors there in Waterloo. Karen calling in. Good morning, Karen.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Morning.
Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Karen, what's going on at your place?
Okay. In my backyard, we planted a rose bush a few years ago, and it has seemed to just taken over the entire area. I can't remember the variety of rose, but it's not a classic rose. It's one of those tiny flowers.
So should it have been like a floribunda, perhaps, or a miniature rose, or was it a shrub?
It's not a miniature rose.
No.
It's a bush, and it, I can't...
Yeah, and you didn't sort of save the tag. Well, was it a rose that was what they call grafted or budded, so that it had a real swollen knob right where the stem and the root come together?
No.
So when you planted it, there was no sort of indication, no instructions saying, cover this whole rose in the winter to keep it, to protect it?
No. Well, the property was new and we got it as part of the package.
Given by the developer.
Yes.
So it could have been. So there's a lot of different kinds of roses out there, as you know. One whole group of roses are called shrub roses, and shrub roses tend to grow on their own roots. So they're very easy care, low maintenance. We treat them just as a shrub, basically.
It sounds like that.
Yeah, it's not like a hybrid tea or a rose that takes a lot of sort of. Can take some fiddling.
No.
So shrub roses, depending on the variety, some of them get very, very large. Mm-hmm. We're talking 6 feet tall, 6 feet wide, if never trimmed. Now, if...
It just spreads.
Yeah, sounds like... This sounds like something that you may have. Now, what I would do to control this plant, because it is a good idea, you don't want it taking over your entire yard, and yet a shrub rose is a lovely thing to have. The way we trim them is early in the spring, before any leaves come out on the plant, you put on your suit of leather and your leather gauntlets and your big, jacket. So it's a cool enough day that you can be wearing, long sleeves.
Okay.
And with some very sharp, not just pruners, but loppers, so long-handled pruners, which are known as loppers, you go in there with that tool and your gauntlets, and you're going to remove, right at ground level, the oldest branches, the oldest stems. The oldest stems are going to be the biggest ones around, the thickest ones. They're also going to tend to be gray bark because they're that old, versus the younger stems, which are going to be shinier, often lighter colored, and obviously narrow. So by taking out the older stems, now, pretend there's 10 or 15 stems in this entire... Right. So you're going to thin out at least a third, if not a half, of all the stems right at ground level.
Charlie, what if I want to get rid of the whole thing?
Oh, okay. If you want to get rid of the whole thing, use those same loppers, cut the whole thing down as close to the ground as you possibly can.
Okay.
Obviously cutting all that up and eliminating all that out into your, out at the end of the road. And then it's just a matter of digging it up. Roses are not, it's just when it's so thorny and large, it's really hard to get at it. So you've just got to cut it down so you can get at it. Nice sharp shovel and dig the whole thing up and eliminate.
It seems to have gone... all the way, like spread on, all the way under our deck.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's just, it's insidious. It's terrible. It's
good word.
Thought about a stick of dynamite. My gosh.
Well,
if
it does, it may have some what they call prostrate stems or canes that have gone along the ground and then are shooting up under the deck.
Yes.
It just might be one of those things of following all those every now and then they will even shoot up stems from the root. So yes, it's going to take some digging, but you should be able to eliminate it. And that's as much as I can say because we're at the end of the show. But thanks so much for calling. Good luck with that, Karen. Lots of gauntlets, sharp tools.
How you made out on that, okay? Without, running to the hospital for all those scratches. Man, oh, man. Hey, it's been a fun show today.
It has. Thank you so much, Frank, for joining the Charlie and Frank show. And thanks, David, for all your great help.
Frank and Charlie.
And thanks to all our great callers. We'll see you all next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.